Science Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Matthew Longo. His new book is The Picnic, A Dream of Freedom and the Collapse of the Iron Curtain. The masters of Central Europe, the Warsaw Pact, are not present. We're going to a campsite called Ferto Rakosh. It's on the edge of a lake that extends from Czechoslovakia and also reaches into Austria. This is the borderlands between Hungary and freedom. The town nearby is Sofron, and the gathering at the campsite are people from Czechoslovakia, from Hungary, and the East Germany, known as the GDR. Those are the most important of all because they are the most oppressed of all. They've passed through Czechoslovakia and camped at this place for a celebration that is to take place August 19th. It is the night before. It is August 18th. Matt, what is the expectation of the next day when everybody gathers for the party?
So it's a particularly fraught moment. In the government, in the halls of power in Budapest, you have people sitting by the phones, terrified that the Soviets are going to move. Someone is going to shut everything down. All the organizers are terrified, so much so that Maria, who had been on the phone with the border guards, had been planning things for weeks at this point. Even the day before, August 18th, still calls the border guards just to check the border stays open, because she didn't entirely believe it would go off without a hitch. You have a lot of tension in the campsites. So there's in this story, the focus is on a particular campsite, which John mentioned, outside Ferto Rakosh, which is filled with East Germans. These are East Germans fleeing the GDR, which is the socialist half or the communist half of what is now unified Germany, who under the leadership of Erich Honecker had become one of the most constrained states, very tight in its controls. But even that spring, people in East Germany had begun to receive some news that there had been some work done on the Iron Curtain in Hungary, that the electric fencing had been rolled up, that maybe, just maybe, it would be possible to cross. So by August 18th, that summer, hundreds of thousands of East Germans had come to Hungary, pretending to be on a summer vacation, although I guess many of them were on summer vacation. Hungary's a lovely place to visit. But most of them, at this point, are there as refugees. They're trying to get out, hoping that at this picnic, at this party at the border, there might be a chance to break free. So at the campsite, you have this mixed energy of excitement and terror. You don't know what's happening. If you get caught, people were already trying the border and getting caught quite frequently. You'd often be sent back to the GDR, or slightly less terrifyingly, you'd be put in a Hungarian prison. But in either case, your name would be written down, your passport would be taken, your details would be taken. These are people, in a way, excited because of the possibility of freedom, which at this point is kilometers away. But on the other hand, terrified. They know what's happening out in the woods if they don't get through. And there's just this feeling that maybe at this party, there will be a special chance because they know the border will be open, because they know Austrians will be coming east into the party in the borderlands.
The set is an opera. Wandering through these tents are Stasi informers, men who are associated with brutality and murder, mass murder, wandering through the camp. They recognize them by their clothing, by their attitude, by their treatment. The East Germans recognize them. No one else fears them anywhere close to the East Germans, and yet they stand firm, knowing the Stasi are taking down their names. It's at this point, Matt, I was following your story saying, I have no idea what happens next. I don't know whether they're going to. There's a photograph that suggests something's going to happen, but you're not sure whether the Stasi are going to pull their weapons out. Now, the information about what was going on is also in Budapest. They understand the campsite is meant for something beyond just a demonstration. What does Nemeth know at this point of what's going on at the campsite?
Well, so Nemeth is aware of what's happening with the picnic, and the reformists in government see the picnic as an opportunity, because whereas they're trying to test Gorbachev to see what they can get away with before the Soviet Union reacts, they've been quite careful in what their risks are. This band of kids who are throwing a party, remember, it is literally a party. There is a stage they build by hand. There are porta potties they build by hand. There's musicians coming in. There's going to be food and alcohol and dancing and merriment and all these things Nemeth knows because the Soviet army base is 30 kilometers away. They're watching the Soviets, and Nemeth views it in a way. It's now, this is an unkind way of saying it, but in a way, it's Operation Human Shield. Right? As far as the Hungarian government's concerned, it's a test. If the Soviets don't even respond to this, they're thinking, who knows what we can get away with? Who knows how much further we can push reform? Because actually, the Hungarian government is aware that there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of East Germans perched, camped out at the border, waiting for a chance to break free. The Hungarian government can't order this. They can't say, let them through. But they can certainly hope that at this great chaotic moment of merriment, something might happen.
There are families who are looking to make a break. There are couples from both sides of the border looking to make it possible for, in one instance, a young woman from East Germany to make a break. There are young men, two in particular, the Naglers, who may or may not make a break. They're not sure. They haven't quite told their parents. And then there's one extremely mysterious figure named Norbert. Who is he, Matt?
So one of the great things about historical research is not just that you find the names no one's heard of that they should have, people like Nemeth, these powerful figures that are kind of lying in the archives, waiting to be discovered. But you also find these incredibly strange people, these radical nobodies that at some particular moment in time become heroes. So Norbert was a West German. That detail is really important. He had a West German passport. He was allowed to go east. The Iron Curtain was a one-way street. Right? There was no problem going from west to east. You just couldn't leave. You couldn't go from east to west. Norbert was the kind of guy whose breath stank of whiskey at 10 in the morning, and his car was filled only with empty boxes of Galois cigarettes and Scotch whiskey and all these things that, if you're a little boy from the east, as the Naglers were, young teenagers, it's impossible to state how powerful is the cool of this guy who he had a knife. He's covered in scars. He had been in combat. He'd been a mercenary in different wars. He's been part of the French Legion. Norbert comes in and has no fear. He has the right papers. He can cross however he wants. And he basically says, I can figure this out. You're scared of going into the borderlands, all of you East Germans who are terrified? I'll help you. And he becomes basically a shuttle figure, along with this woman, this elderly woman named Agnes, who the two of them, Agnes, because she's so old, she's not concerned the state's going to hurt her, and Norbert, because he's from the West and knows the state can't hurt him, in a way become these fearless, strange figures that just, in a way, almost like guardian angels, helped people find a way to cross.
There's supposed to be a setup, and there's supposed to be a moment of celebration. They've changed the lock on one small gate at the border itself, and there's supposed to be dignitaries and remarks, and the original concept of sharing brotherhood and sisterhood across the barrier. But then, on the day itself, August 19th, something panics the Germans. What is it, Matt?
Well, what happens in the morning of the 19th, so you have all this information about the picnic, but the picnic, remember, the picnic is a party thrown by the Hungarian activists. Nobody necessarily in the camps even knows what this is. And there's this fear that actually it's a Stasi ploy, right? That it's not the young Hungarians. We know that it's basically this great party to celebrate freedom. But the actual picnic is received incredibly as dubious information. There are flyers, not just in Hungarian, also in German. Why are there flyers in German? If you're an East German who's lived their whole life terrified of the Stasi, and in fact, in the story, there's lots of examples of people falling into the traps the Stasi set. Stasi, quote-unquote, human catchers or people catchers. So a lot of people are scared that the picnic is a ploy. Some go and say, you know what, let's figure it out. Maybe there's a chance at this crazy event to just try the border. But others say, no, this doesn't smell right to me. Remember, these are people. These are not elites or soldiers, or these are people with kids, right? A lot of the kids in the story are 5 years old or 7 years old, and they're scared for their lives, for their kids' lives. And so the actual feeling on August 19th in the morning is one of absolute panic. And a lot of the figures I interview, a lot of the stories that I try to track across the border are people that didn't cross at the picnic because they were so scared. It gives you a little bit of the climate.
They come to the border. There's guards are there. The gate opens. And then there's the pop of a champagne cork. And that sets off this bolt through the fence. There's a photograph that describes the moment of panic. I believe there's one young woman pushing a stroller. I'm not sure. It's a cluttered picture.
It's a very chaotic moment. Let me set the stage. So of the people that go to the picnic, and we're talking about, we think between 600 and 1,200, so a little under 1,000, let's say, decide to go and try the border at the picnic. This is a mass of bodies. It is a hot, wet day. The party actually, like Woodstock, gets rained upon. The picnic is huge. In the end, 20,000 people show up. It's a chaotic scene, but the border is still protected, right? The fact that people can cross from Austria does not mean the border is open. It is protected by armed guards. It is not an open border, and it is certainly not an open border for East Germans. Nonetheless, this mass of people push their way. They're walking, then suddenly they're running, and they see a fence. And there's these two perspectives to imagine. The one perspective is just the people who are running and running and running, this horde of bodies pushing up against a fence, breaking through this fence, and suddenly hearing the popping bottles of champagne. They think it's over. They think they're being shot at, right? They think they're going to die. But actually, it's just Austrians saying, welcome to freedom. You've made it. Like, people are hugging and there's champagne flowing, this incredible moment of euphoria. But the other perspective to imagine is the Hungarian border guards who are watching this mass of people coming at them. They are supposed to stop them, not just stop them. They have arms. They should be shooting in the air. They should be threatening them. They should be doing something. But these are part of the heroics of the story is these Hungarian guards don't. They actually decide not to do anything, and they let the mass through, partially because, and this is what's so interesting morally about the story, these are people who have spent their lives defending the Hungarian communist state, defending communism. But they too are aware that communism's collapsing, that the Iron Curtain is folding. Are you really willing to kill, to threaten the lives of people, but ultimately to kill, to defend a system you're not even certain is even going to be standing in a few weeks, in a few months or so? And so they make this tremendous moral choice to look at these people, again, as John put out, these are people with kids, with prams, and let them through. And so you have this moment, not just of euphoria, but also without a drop of bloodshed.
The book is The Picnic, A Dream of Freedom and the Collapse of the Iron Curtain. Matthew Longo is the author. When we come back, 30 years later, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.